Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Brass Tacks Sunday for May 3rd. I'm Sanka Price, your moderator for today's program, in which we discuss Barbados's COVID-19 recovery plan and examine whether it is workable, does it go far enough, and what more is needed. To give us their perspective on how on this will be Ambassador Dr. Clyde Maskell, the Chief Economic Counselor to Prime Minister Mia Mottley, and Mr. Edward Clark, who's the chairman of the Barbados Private Sector Association. And Mr. Clark is also the co-chair of the Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Program, what we familiarly call as BERT. And he's, as I said, the co-chair of their monitoring committee. I think we have one of them on the line so far. Is this Mr. Clark or is this Dr. Maskell?
Good morning.
Oh, we don't have either of them on the line as yet. Anyhow, we also will be getting the leader of the opposition, Bishop Joseph Adley, will not be able to join us today, but we have an audio clip from him giving his party's perspective on the plan. And we will be joined a little later by the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, Ms. Verla de Pisa, to put her party's perspective on the plan. And just let me continue here. You would remember that last Wednesday, April 29th, Prime Minister Mia Mottley announced a $2 billion stimulus package, even though Barbados will stand to lose about $400 million in tax revenue. And in her 90-minute speech, the Prime Minister stated, and I just took this clip out, she said, we focused the program on supporting those who have lost their jobs in the shutdown and to keep those as far as possible who have jobs into their jobs. The economic plan has 5 parts, and the effect of them is to fill the hole in spending in this economy to the tune of near $2 billion over 2 years. Part one of that program is a $1.7 billion stimulus. Part two deals with food security. Part three addresses unemployment and relief for vulnerable households. And part four speaks to job retention, investment, business survival. While part five deals with the non-fiscal measures, that is things that can be done that don't cost money but would actually save money or even generate revenue. That would be things like business facilitation policies. So what we're really trying to find out is, can this plan work? And before we get into the heat of the discussion, we need to remind you that this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries, Inc.
For business surprise, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And of course, Dennis Johnson is our producer, and he'll be the first voice you'll hear when you call us today at 434-1790. You can also share your thoughts with us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. For those now joining, we will be discussing Barbados's COVID-19 recovery plan with our guest, Ambassador Dr. Clyde Maskell, the Chief Economic Counselor to Prime Minister Mia Mottley. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Sanka. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And Mr. Edward Clark, the Chairman of the Barbados Private Sector Association and the Co-Chair of the BERT Monitoring Committee. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Sanka. Good morning to listeners.
Good. Gentlemen, as I outlined while we were still trying to get you, it's a $2 billion plan. It's basically in 5 parts, which I sort of give an outline what those parts are. $1.7 billion stimulus. We also deal with food security, unemployment, and relief for vulnerable households, job retention, investment, business survival, and non-fiscal measures. This plan, so a lot of money. At the same time, the central bank governor is saying that Barbados is projected this year to have a 12 to 13% decline in economic activity. Is this plan therefore workable? Dr. Maskell.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Ed. How are you doing?
Morning, Dr.
Well, just let me put context first to the one the economy is. You have households, you have businesses, and then government. And in a crisis, households and businesses are under pressure. So it is expected that the government would then try its best to assist. In this case, it's not just a crisis, it's about survival. Prior to May 2018, if we look at the economy in the context of what I just outlined, the two other, the household and the businesses, were keeping government alive while government was printing money at the central bank to the tune of $600 million a year. In the last year and a half, since November of 2018, the government was putting money at the central bank. It wasn't getting money from the central bank. So that has been a major reversal. And that's what a primary balance is supposed to be about. So when you hear the government was running a surplus of 6% primary, what is happening there is government now has excess, which it is now going to use to bring down the national debt. In these circumstances, we now have to relook the capacity of the government to run a surplus that is extract more than it is putting in. And therefore, there has been a reversal to the extent that we will now relax the target of 6% surplus, primary surplus, and bring it down to something closer to 1%. In that environment, therefore, what is now happening is that government is once again putting more, trying to put more into the system, or more appropriately said, is going to extract less than it was when it was having a 6% primary surplus. So the fiscal room that you're hearing about is now that government no longer has to have a primary surplus of over 600 million, it would just be around maybe 100 million. And that, therefore, is the context. Now, truth be told, no one knows what is going to happen 3 months from now. So, government is now trying to put the Barbados economy in a survival mode. That is now, we're reversing things and trying our best to help households to survive, help businesses to survive as a result of COVID-19. So what's happening here is that we have had almost overnight to reverse the very lovely wicket that we were on in correcting the economic fortunes of Barbados. And now we are definitely in a mode of survival. And in this context, there's no doubt that what the Prime Minister presented is more than adequate medicine for the time being when we look over the next 3 to 6 month horizon. What happens after that would be a question of how the entire world economy reacts and responds to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So in essence, we are now providing support for households. We are now providing support for various sectors in the economy. And more importantly, we have invested heavily in making sure that our people are healthy, relatively so. So in essence, it can be reduced to we are putting health above wealth for the time being. It should be so always, but it is even so, more so now because of the circumstances.
Thank you, Dr. Maskell. Mr. Clark, your thoughts on the plan, given especially what the governor of the central bank is saying?
Hi, Sanka. First of all, let me say, I think it is against the backdrop of where the BERT program has taken Barbados. I think we need to look at that first. We should appreciate the position that we have been in come March 31st, that we are now able to fight off this economic situation, because luckily for Barbados, with the management of the economy in the last 22 months, we were able as a country to build up the reserves, both foreign reserves and the primary surplus. The space in the economy, I think Dr. Maskell has talked about. So in that context, I think we are very, very lucky that we have been put in that position already. And I think this is how the Prime Minister and her cabinet were now able to allow us to try to get some benefit from that position. Yes, we're going to go a step backwards for sure, but at least we have a solid foundation to work on now. And I think that's very important. So in that context, I think that the government, what they have offered us here, is a very good start to get things going again. A lot depends on how the public reacts, how the economy reacts, because the economy is dependent on the public's confidence and the public's spending of their income. So a lot depends on that now. And as Dr. Master said, I think this is not written in concrete. I think any government needs to assess the situation right now pretty fluid, as being pretty fluid, and we need to address this as we go on. It's not something I think that we can just say this is it and we're gonna sit back and wait and see what happens. I think this government will have to be very, very proactive and watch this like a hawk and adjust as we go along.
All right. Thank you, sir. But if we can just look at part one, which is the $1.7 billion stimulus, and we're going to soon get Mr. Pisa on the line, as well as we'll soon hear from things. So just another minute or so, we'll contact them. But if we can just go to the $1.7 billion stimulus, which will focus on acceleration of capital works programs. We're talking private infrastructure and construction. This is going to be where a lot of the bulk of the money is going to be. So we've been talking for some time about getting a number of these projects started. Are any of them really shovel ready? Dr. Maskell, I will have to ask you that one.
You know, that's what I said on the private sector side. Yes, we think that we are pretty close, because this work was ongoing prior to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a question now of getting the economy reopened, and that has to be done sensibly. So the government, therefore, has identified a number of sectors where you can have social distancing, but the important thing is to restart the economy and to make sure that the important issue of health still remains paramount. So in essence, we are confident that we can resume, or we have in fact, in some sense, started some of these projects already. And this is what is needed to boost the economy. Because in the environment, we are going to lose revenue. And that has been identified to the tune of almost $450 million. But the wonderful part of all of this is that we were able to move our reserves from just around $400 million now to $1.7 billion. And this gives you a cushion upon which you can build. Because in the absence of having the tourism sector to bring in the foreign exchange and the other sectors, you will now have to literally run down your reserves. But you're running them down for a very good cause, to re-stimulate, resuscitate the economy, and also, most importantly, to provide employment for our people. So there's no doubt it is absolutely required. 1.7 cannot be spent in a year. But once you start to see these projects going, and once you start to see employment being created, then you can now counter the reduction of projected revenue for the government. And that can only be done if you enhance and improve economic activity. The government is also planning over the period to inject a fair amount in terms of government, public and capital works in areas of environmental protection, a cleanup program, health and education and construction, and building refurbishment. That is, we now have an opportunity in the school, which would be out for quite a while, to go and do some major renovations. The Barbados Water Authority, Capital Works, to ensure that we get adequate water supply from St. Joseph and St. John. And there's a major project coming with Vineyard, so that's being capitalized very soon. And then this is an opportunity, as we can see now, when we have to stay at home and work, to really advance our digital transformation. So this is quite a doable stimulus package here that that the government is putting in place. And finally, the whole issue of alternative energy, which has been planned for quite a while, but now we're trying to accelerate in order to make Barbados even better positioned after COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you mentioned just now is that you would have to bring down the reserves, obviously, to be able to do a lot of the spending, and the reserves would come down because there's really very little money coming in, since tourism is basically comatose for the time being. And I have this note here that was written by Michael Howard on his Facebook page, and he says, "From my first year in economics, I learned that you cannot maintain large foreign reserves and have a very large capital works program at the same time. This is why Prime Minister Owen Arthur borrowed foreign reserves to finance the expected net outflow of foreign exchange on intermediate and capital goods necessary for projects. If you print money at the same time, you also put pressure on your foreign reserves to maintain imports. So, too heavy capital spending combined with printing money in a crisis like this could actually crash economic growth and force you to devalue. You cannot do everything at the same time. These are not normal times." I'd like to get your reaction to that, Dr. Maskell.
Yeah. It's based economics, but truth be told, there's no intention to print any major money. The concept that you still have a primary surplus of 1% tells you that the government would be in a positive position and therefore financing would actually be positive. You with me?
Yes.
You would only need to print money if you have a deficit. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Yeah.
So there can't be any for now. Mm-hmm. This situation would have to become very grave, and we would have to go back to running huge deficit. But that's not foreseeable. And in the foreseeable future, there's still a target of a 1% surplus. And we're going to get, and we have been getting financing from foreign sources in recent times. So for now, there's no danger of having a capital works program and there being the heavy printing of money, because the heavy printing of money is associated with deficit of the government. And that's why in the previous administration, the government was printing money to pay workers. So the government had a current account deficit, not just an overall deficit. The government started by having a shortage of money to pay light bills. I'm going to put it in the context of a household. The government did not have money to pay its light bill, its food bill, and the like in the previous administration. All of that was erased in the last 18 months or so. And that is what the concept of a surplus does. It does not, therefore, require the central bank to print money once the government is having a surplus situation. And in every developing economy, a deficit is tolerated of a certain size once we are in a crisis situation. So that's not an issue.
Mm-hmm. And I think this would be a good time to introduce the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, Ms. Verla de Pisa. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to all other participants. I am aware of Ambassador Maskell and
Mr. Edward Clark.
Thank you.
Good. And before I go back to Mr. Clark, I think I'll bring you in here because Dr. Maskell, was just looking at the whole stimulus package, and I read to him what Professor Emeritus Michael Howard would have said about the printing of money. And I think you heard me, right? So I don't have to repeat. So
I heard part of it. I
Okay.
In receiving the phone call from Dennis Johnson, I was cut at that point. So I heard part of it. However, I am aware of what Professor Emeritus Howard said on his Facebook page.
Right. All right. Well, what is the perspective of the Democratic Liberal Party on this plan, this $2 billion stimulus package?
The Democratic Liberal Party issued a statement. I hope you have the benefit of it. And our critical concern is in relation to part one of the stimulus plan, which is the $1.7 billion capital works program. We also read that in conjunction with the governor of the central bank's report on the first quarter of 2020, and recalling that up to his last report, which was delivered in January of this year, Barbados was struggling for profitability to the point where some segments were already mouthing the word recession. And I wish in that context that I could share the optimism of Ambassador Maskell that printing money is not on the table in the first instance. Matter of fact, the governor of the central bank mentioned it in the report, which suggests that it is within the contemplation. And I think that at this point in time, at the very beginning, we really should be examining best case and worst case scenarios so that we have a conversation from the beginning of all the eventualities that could play out, especially since in large measure, this fund, the $1.7 billion, is likely to head in the direction of tourism, which by all independent and also the CPO, all indications are that best case scenario is next year and the worst case scenario is much, much longer than that. So then we have to ask ourselves, how do we allocate that $1.7 billion to make sense and to take advantage of a crisis to restructure our economy in such a way that we are not so heavily dependent on tourism when everything that we can see, the recession of 2007-2008, and now the COVID environment, suggests that the volatility of tourism is not a peg on which we should balance an entire economy.
So what is your alternative then?
The alternative is the weighting of that $1.7 billion.
Thank you.
The renewable energy, the environment, the education restructuring, which was being talked about in January, but which has, I don't want to say fallen off the conversation. The conversation is COVID at this point in time. We need to be looking at those alternate sources of potential revenue alongside part two, and part three and part four, which is food self-sufficiency, support for affected households, and support for affected small businesses. I think we need to be looking at reshaping our economy. Know that everything is up in the air. We can decide which balls we want to catch first. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really the concern of the Democratic Liberal Party right now, that we don't continue to do what we used to do, to prop up the status quo and waste the opportunity to reshape our economy facing in a different direction.
All right, Dr. Maskell, come in, please.
In the bird. All right? You have this thing before you.
I'm not hearing him.
Plan. You have an economic relief plan, part one, don't you?
Are you hearing him, Mr. Pisa?
I am not. I can hear his voice, but I can't make out what he's saying.
All right.
Anyhow, the public will hear. You have the economic thing in front of you, right, Sanko?
Yeah.
Could you read it for the public? Could you read that the government, public, and capital works program, and you can tell me what it is, Sanko?
Well, the stimulus plan.
Yeah.
Most of this money is really private infrastructure and construction. In fact,
$1.08 billion
yeah.
of that that has nothing to do with government deficit or printing money. You agree?
Well, based on what I'm reading here, that is what it's saying.
Okay, so were you reading here facts, Sanko?
Yeah.
You have what I'm telling you. Is that you have it in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then they're saying that there will be a renewable energy program of how much money?
That renewable energy program is $360 million.
Right.
And this is the point.
And the thing that is directly related to the government, public, and capital works program is how much?
$324 million.
So the notion that you're saying that government is engaging in a $1.7 billion stimulus that is all to do with government is false.
And no, that is not.
You cannot therefore correlate that with the printing of money. And I'm saying that you're going down a very bad path, and money can only be printed if the government were running huge deficits. That is not the case. And therefore, do not try to convey to the public that this $1.7 billion stimulus is all about government spending. The majority, the substantial majority, is to do with the private sector. And there is where there will be implications, therefore, for the reserves. But we have the reserves to cushion the expansion of government, of private sector activity. And that has to be stated. All right?
Good.
If I may.
Yes.
There was never the statement made that it was all coming from government. The Prime Minister's statement said public and private capital works program. The weighting, however, is heavily in favor of tourism. And that really is the critical point for the Democratic Labour Party, that we do believe that there should be greater consideration given to a certain renewable energy so that we have the opportunity to develop a new revenue stream that may well be more resilient to external shocks.
Mr. Pisa, you made that point, Dr. Maskell, just... All right, Dr. Maskell, just give me a second. Yes, please.
Yeah, I don't want to be refereeing, but I think it's important. from a business side, I heard Mr. Pisa, but we need to understand majority of this 1.7 is private investment coming in. But I have heard the call and the clamor for us as a country to diversify. And there's no doubt we need to diversify our investment and our dependency on tourism. But you have to be realistic. Tourism is not going away. Tourism has had a haircut because of the COVID crisis. We cannot then try to destroy the breadbasket of Barbados because of a haircut. I think you have to be realistic that tourism will be back. It will be back maybe in a little different form and fashion initially, but it will be back long term. I think as a country, investors have to plan for the long term. We don't plan for short term returns as investors. So I believe that we still have to try to find ways to invest in tourism. The renewable energy, I totally agree that we need to focus much more on renewable energy now, both from an investment point of view, but also from a forex saving point of view going forward. And I think the government seems to be looking at that now, and I hope it gets the attention it requires. But the $324 million infrastructure work is badly needed in Barbados, very badly needed. And I really look forward to the government spending this money efficiently and manage the projects efficiently and effectively, that we can get these capital works programs done. Too many derelict government buildings, too many on delayed projects that have been in the government's play for the, not just government only, but the last government as well, because of the fiscal situation. But this stimulus program for the government projects is absolutely essential at this time. And with the other construction projects, we will get what they're after if the economy is going. When these tourism projects are finished, it could be 2 years down the road. And by then, tourism will be coming back on stream at full speed. We have to be ready. We have to have new capital inputs for this new tourism drive that will come down the road. It's not going away. And I don't think that we should sit here and think that tourism is going to go anywhere.
All right, Mr. Pisa, would you like to make another comment before we move on?
Yes. Uh-huh. I heard Ambassador Maskell speak about the $50 million Water Authority Capital Works Program. Mm-hmm. However, the Prime Minister's substantive in her speech indicated that that sum is not included in the $1.7 billion public and private capital works program. So I'm hoping that that is not having been brought into the conversation, understood to be a part of that $1.7 billion, but separate.
Listen, again, let me just explain or attempt to teach. At the end of the fiscal year last year, the government would have made every effort once it saw any excess money to put certain capital works programs into the previous fiscal year that ended on March 31st of this year. However, even though that money was allocated and would have been allocated to the previous fiscal year, that money has not been spent to the extent that the business now, the capital works has to be done. It was just a matter of accounting for it, given that you had excess in the previous fiscal year. So don't confuse the two things, my dear.
All right, thank you. What we're going to do is we're now going to play. Well, first of all, we're going to take a break and just remind you that this program is being brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries, Inc.